Good morning. Wonderful. I'm going to have you stand at this time. And as we begin our service this Palm Sunday, I'm going to invite you to move towards the center aisle so we can make room for folks who are still coming. If you're off to the edges, just move closer to the center so we can make space. On this Palm Sunday, we remember the story of that week when Jesus entered Jerusalem. He entered on that first Palm Sunday as they were preparing to celebrate Passover. And as Jesus made his way in, they said some words. And if we could put those on the screen, they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And congregation, if you would join with me, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And now let's try that for real. Let's try it one more time. "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord," and all together,
"Hosanna, Hosanna."
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to it at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing, untying that colt?' They answered, 'As Jesus had told them to.' And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts."
Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, and all together,
"Hosanna, Hosanna."
A Palm Sunday would not be a Palm Sunday without a parade. And so we're going to do something we normally don't do. You're going to be invited to join in a parade. We're going to make one lap around the sanctuary here. And I invite you to raise your palm branches as we sing that great hymn of faith, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." Just follow the person next to you. You'll figure it out, folks.
Thank you.
We gather together today in the name in which we live, the name in which we baptize, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
I invite you to be seated at this time as I invite the children to come forward for a very special message just for them. Come on forward, youngsters. Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. So today, church looks a little bit different, doesn't it? What's a little different today? What are we waving? What are these things? Palm branches. And when Jesus, way a long time ago, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, people had a party. Do you like parties? Yeah? Tell me, when do you party? When do you party? On your birthday, do you have a big party? What kind of things do you do on your birthday? You have presents and cake. What other times do you party? When do you party? When? At Christmas, you have a big party. What else? What? Do you have one? Halloween, you have a party. Right. We have parties and we celebrate. Well, that first Palm Sunday was a big party because Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was declaring in some ways that he was king. Huh? He was declaring that he was king, that he had come and was creating a new sort of kingdom. And we're going to hear today a little bit about what that kingdom looked like. It was a party. It was a party. But here's the deal. That party would soon turn kind of dark. It was like the party kind of went south. It didn't go so hot. Because we're going to find out as we hear the story today that from that party, there would be these guys who didn't like him so much. Have you ever had somebody who maybe looked at you and didn't treat you so nice? You ever had that happen in your life? Never? Well, I have. Every once in a while, people don't treat you so nice. And there were these people who came out of that party, and they were not happy that Jesus was getting all this attention. And they would start to treat him really crummy. And in fact, we know the story goes that Jesus eventually would be put to death. And that story we're going to hear today. And so the story is going to go from a party. You go, woohoo! No. Let's try this again. You go, woohoo! Okay, congregation, help us. The story goes from a party, woohoo! To boohoo. To boohoo. Because Jesus' followers would be crying by the end of the story. And we're going to hear that story today. All right? I'm really thankful for all of you. And I have a sucker for each of you. And you can head back to your seat. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Calvary on this Palm Sunday. If you are new to Calvary, an especially warm welcome to you. We're really glad you're here. We would love during the service today for you to fill out this little envelope that you received as you arrived. Drop it in the offering basket. That's how we get connected with folks. And as we always say, we'd love to get connected with you. Today's service is a unique service as we remember that the beginning of that first Holy Week way back when Jesus did arrive to a hero's welcome. But we're going to see as the service unfolds today that story goes south, and you know where that story goes. It goes to the cross. And so we're going to hear that story played out in a number of different ways today. One announcement, if you have this little card, I'd love for you to pull this card out. If you're new to Calvary, this is your invitation card to join us for Easter. We'd love for you to join us. We have four services next weekend. If you are somebody who's been around Calvary for a while, we'd love for you to give that card to somebody you know who needs a church family. We think our Easter service is going to be just wonderful. And if maybe somebody's had bad experience with church in the past or have been turned off with church, it'd be a great opportunity for you to invite them to join us for Easter here at Calvary. I'm going to invite you at this time to stand and greet those you're worshiping with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love. At this time, I invite you to be seated. We, at this time, are going to collect our offering as we hear from Bel Canto. As always, thank you for your generosity. It's because of your generosity that we can do all we do here at Calvary. We're going to collect our offering as we hear from Bel Canto.
Thank you.
us all join in praying together the prayer of the day listed on your screen. Almighty God, today we remember that your Son Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem and was proclaimed king by those who spread their garments and palm branches along his way. Thank you for what this day stands for, the beginning of Holy Week, the start of a journey toward the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is our King of Kings. Amen.
Okay, let me get this out of the way. I didn't steal that donkey, okay? I borrowed it. And it wasn't even my idea. Jesus told me to take it, to borrow it, right? Okay, this is how it happened. Earlier today, there was a large group of us, and we were traveling from Bethany to Jerusalem. We stopped just outside the city, and Jesus looked at two of us, and he said there was an unridden donkey just inside the village and asked us to go get it. He said, if anybody, you know, asks us about it, we could just look at him and say, the Lord needs it and he'll send it back. So the two of us beat it into town. And the whole time we were like, what is Jesus going to do with a donkey, right? But by this point, we realized you don't second guess Jesus, right? He hadn't told us why and we didn't ask. We just got him a donkey. And when we got back, that's when it happened. Some people put their coats on the donkey, and Jesus got on the donkey. And when he got on the donkey, I don't know. It's like everyone started shouting and dancing and singing, and some people were throwing their coats in front of the donkey. There was some of us that grabbed some palm branches and we started waving them in the air, and that's when it clicked. Jesus had finally arrived. I know that sounds weird. It's like this. In the past, we would get excited because Jesus would do something, a miracle, or there would be some parable or something he said. We'd get excited about it. And Jesus would always be like, shh, come on, guys. No, nope. Just be quiet, you know. And then we'd come up with some idea. Hey, let's do this or let's do that. And Jesus would be like, no, guys, not now. Not now. But today? Today was now. Today, he finally let us shout and sing and dance and treat him like the Messiah that we'd all been waiting for. He finally showed up. I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. It feels like it's something big, but who knows, you know? But it doesn't matter what happens, because Jesus showed up. And there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up.
Jesus showed up, and there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up. On that first Palm Sunday, I imagine that everyone expected Jesus to show up on that first Palm Sunday. That's just what everybody did. Everybody made their way to Jerusalem for Passover. You see, that first Palm Sunday was on the eve of Passover. And anybody went to Jerusalem to celebrate. It was this celebration of an event that had happened ages ago. God's people, way back when, had been made slaves in Egypt for some 400 years. And God didn't forget about them. God led those people way back when to freedom. You see, Passover was this reminder that God remained faithful, that God didn't forget about God's people. And so if you were anyone, you celebrated Passover. Passover was actually kind of like the Masters, you know, the golf tournament. You may not be into golf the rest of the year, but then when it comes to the Masters, you're all checking your phones right now. You see, that's how Passover was. If you weren't really into it, well, you were a nobody. Everybody was into Passover, so everybody expected Jesus to show up. But here's the thing, no one expected the way in which Jesus would show up. Because as you heard, Jesus again and again told his disciples, keep whatever I tell you between us. Don't tell anyone else. It was as if Jesus wanted them to think that what he was sharing was a secret. But man, on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus showed up to a hero's welcome. He rode in on a donkey. They yelled, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. They treated him like a king. It was like he was arriving. It was like he was establishing that day his kingdom. You see, everyone expected Jesus to show up, but no one expected the way in which he'd show up. It was totally unexpected. Well, the story says that from that hero's welcome, Jesus would make his way to the temple. And everybody expected Jesus to go to the temple. You see, that's what everyone did. You'd go to the temple, and there you'd purchase a lamb. And you'd take it to the priest on that day before Passover. And the priest would ritually sacrifice that lamb. It was, again, a way of remembering the first Passover eons ago. When God's people, again, were slaves in Egypt, God had asked them, take the blood of a lamb and put it over your door, so that when the angel of death passes over, I will keep you safe. I won't forget you. I will remember you. And so every year, if you were celebrating the Passover, you'd purchase a lamb and have it sacrificed. So everyone expected Jesus would make his way to the temple. But no one expected what he would do when he got there. It was totally unexpected. You see, we read the story today. It goes like this. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and he began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. You see, everyone expected him to go to the temple, but no one expected that he would do what he did. He overturned the tables of these money changers. He was angry. It was like he was establishing his authority as this new king. He was angry because those wealthy money changers, those wealthy merchants, were feeding off the poor. The poor who had come from the countryside this one time every year to celebrate Passover, to make their sacrifice. You see, everyone expected Jesus would go to the temple, but what he did there was totally unexpected. Well, from there we hear that he went to an upper room. And again, it was totally expected. Every year, Jesus would gather in Jerusalem with his disciples to celebrate Passover in that upper room, I imagine. He'd bring the lamb that was sacrificed, and they'd eat it as a part of that special meal, the Passover meal, on the eve of Passover. It was sometimes called the Seder meal. It remembered that first Passover so long ago. But what Jesus did there was totally unexpected again. First, he took a towel and he placed it around his waist, and he got down on his knees. He took the position of a servant, a slave. You see, nobody expected this newly crowned king to take the position of a slave. And he went from disciple to disciple, and he washed their feet, and he looked them in the eye, and he said, "Go and do likewise." And then when the meal was done, he quieted those disciples down, and that's when he took bread. And after he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to each one of them, and he said, "This is my body. It's given for you." And then after the meal, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it, he gave it to each one of them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this also in remembrance of me." And I imagine that was confusing for the disciples. But I imagine what they learned was that, you know, there was this king called Caesar who wanted his pound of flesh from everyone. But now that Jesus was establishing a new kingdom, maybe there were some new rules, some new ways of being. That rather than getting his pound of flesh, what Jesus wanted to establish was a kingdom where we serve one another, where we care for one another. A kingdom not about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but a kingdom of forgiveness. You see, everybody expected Jesus would show up in that upper room, but no one expected. It was totally unexpected what Jesus did. Well, finally, Jesus would go to the garden after that meal. And everybody, again, they expected him to go to the garden. He was there to pray in this beautiful garden that overlooked the temple. As they prepared to celebrate Passover, it was totally expected. Jesus would go there to pray. But what happened there was unexpected, to say the least. Judas would show up with some temple police, some of the chief priests, some thugs, and they'd arrest Jesus, the story says. And he'd be hauled away, and you know how the story goes. In just a few days, he would find himself on a cross. You see, everyone expected Jesus to show up that day in Jerusalem, but what he did was totally unexpected. You see, folks, here's what I know about your life and mine. There are routines and there are rhythms to our life that we have come to expect. And some of those are really good routines. They're really healthy. But you know as well as I that there are some routines, there are some rhythms, there are some things that we have come to expect in our daily lives that maybe aren't so great. There are things that maybe aren't so healthy. There's that relationship with that son or daughter or mom or dad that isn't what you hope it would be. But at least you have kind of come to expect that you'll be together on Easter for a couple of hours and that'll be fine. Or maybe there's that relationship with your spouse. It's not what you dreamed it would be, but at least you know what to expect. There's that job that's kind of crummy, if you're really honest, but at least you come to expect a paycheck every couple of weeks. There's that retirement that was really exciting when you started it, but now you've fallen into a rhythm that maybe isn't the healthiest. But at least you know what to expect. And maybe that's how your faith life has become. You see, I think there are so many of us that we come on Sunday, we check the box, we do what we think we're supposed to do. We know what to expect. But here's the deal, here's what we know about Jesus. People expected him to show up, but when he showed up in the most unexpected ways for those disciples. And as we embark on this Holy Week, something we've all come to expect, just maybe Jesus might show up in your life and mine in an unexpected way this year. Maybe, just maybe we can create a little bit of space for Jesus to show up in those relationships that aren't the way we hope they would be. Maybe Jesus could show up in an unexpected way in that marriage, in your retirement. Just maybe Jesus this Holy Week could do something brand new in your faith life. You see, way back when, everybody expected Jesus to show up. But when Jesus showed up, he showed up in the most unexpected ways. And there's nothing better than when Jesus shows up. We're going to remember today a meal which those disciples remembered way back when. And it's become rather expected. We do it every week. But way back when Jesus said those words, "This is my body, this is my blood," it was totally unexpected. And maybe you'll experience it in a new way, an unexpected way today. As we prepare to share in communion, I invite you to join me in the words of the Lord's Prayer as found on the screen. Together we pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we celebrate communion today, we want everybody to know that this is God's meal. And when God throws a meal, every last one of us is invited. The ushers will invite you to come forward. We're going to serve communion a little differently today. We're going to serve by intinction, which means that we'll give you a piece of the bread and you're invited then to dip that into either the wine or the grape juice. The wine is the darker of the two. There are also gluten-free wafers as well as grape juice for those that prefer that. Come now, God's meal is ready for all.
story of the cross. Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked the Lord, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this," and he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit?" Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." All of them asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Then Pilate asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judah, from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him for some length, but Jesus gave him no answer.
Oh, Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he's done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting that he should be crucified. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who'd been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
They led him away. They seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. The leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He who has saved others, let him save himself. He is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, and coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." Then Jesus, crying in a loud voice, said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.